heaven, come to you this evening with our heads bowed and heart full of thanksgiving for this beautiful day that you've given us. Thank you for all the many, many blessings that you bestow on us every day. Thankful, Father, for this group and their determination, desire to be here tonight. Pray that we study thy word, we'll gain much from it. Studying from the past that we might learn how to act in the future. Pray for those, especially this number, that are sick and need the healing hand. Pray that the means that's being used upon them be successful and they'll have a speedy recovery. Pray that you forgive us of our wrongs, Father. We know we do stumble and fall short of your will, and help us to study here tonight, be stronger, and live better as the days ahead. Forgive us of our wrong. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
All right, I got just a little bit to cover. We didn't hardly get through 29 last week. We like a few verses. We want to hit those, and then Jim will take chapter 30, and we'll go through that. We got down to 27, chapter 29, verses 27. I'm going to read 27 through 30. Leading up to that, you see where Laban had pulled a switcheroo on Jacob. He traded Leah for Rachel that night, and so he'd come to him and I want to know why he did what he did. And he said that was the custom for the older daughter to be married first. So that was his answer. It's a pretty flimsy excuse. But anyway, that's all we've got recorded that he gave. So verse 27 says, so this is what Laban's reply to Jacob. Complete the week of this one, meaning Leah, and we will give you the other also for the service which you shall serve me for another 7 years. And Jacob did so and completed her week, and he gave him his daughter Rachel as his wife. Laban also gave his maid Bilhah to his daughter Rachel as her maid. So Jacob went into Rachel also, and indeed he loved Rachel more than Leah. And he served Laban for another 7 years. So basically he had, I guess it was a custom, either the wedding or marriage custom for the complete of a week, honeymoon without leaving town or no trips involved. You get a week of ceremonies and feasts and festival or whatever. So Laban said, if you'll do the week with her, then we'll give you the second wife. So he got deal number two, behind deal door number two. Of course, Jacob was kind of between a rock and a hard spot. He wanted Rachel, so he agreed. So he'd work another 7 years. But he also got the handmaid, which was customary. I think it was a gift at that time to give the daughter a handmaid. He said that Jacob loved Rachel more. He worked for her. He never chose Leah, but he got her by deceit. And so you see, how could he actually love? It says that he loved Rachel more than Leah. So how could he love her when he didn't choose her? He got her by deceit. So it's natural that he's not going to love her more. So we can see from that point that, and we'll see throughout the upcoming verses, that one man cannot have more than one wife without conflict or competition or controversy, or it's just not going to happen. And we have to remember that God didn't treat polygamy as a sin back then, or at this time. Didn't appear to, because Jacob, of course, had two wives. Abraham had more wives. Esau, David. That wasn't his original intent, I don't think. But it was apparently allowed. But we can read in Matthew, in the New Testament, 19:3-9, what his desires are for one man and one wife in this day and time. Let's see, 31 through 35, read that, and now the Lord saw that Leah was unloved, and he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. And Leah conceived and bore a son, his name, and named him Reuben, for she said, because the Lord has seen my affliction, surely now my husband will love me. Then she conceived again and bore a son, and said, because the Lord has heard that I am unloved, he has therefore given me this son. So she named him Simeon. She conceived again and bore a son, and said, now this time my husband will become attached to me, because I have borne him three sons. Therefore he was named Levi. And she conceived again and bore a son, and this time I will praise the Lord. Therefore she named him Judah. Then she stopped bearing. So we see here the beginnings of the children who will receive Abraham, Isaac, Jacob's blessing. This is the beginning of those children that was in that promise that God had made. The first four that were delivered by Leah. Reuben, which means see a son. Simeon means hearing. Well, she said God had heard her prayers, so that's why she named Simeon. Levi means attached. She was confident that this third son would make Jacob attached to her, that he would love her more. And then Judah means praise, because she had prayed evidently to the Lord for the children. And who do we know that come from the tribe of Judah?
Christ.
Jesus Christ was eventually come from Judah. These are the beginnings of the 12 tribes. So this is the first four. There'll be eight more coming. So the 12 tribes of Israel, these are the first four that we see. And just a little summary that I've seen in one of the commentaries. It says that yet God worked with these people in their weaknesses and problems. He helped them learn to change, grow, and become useful in his plans. But considering how the family begun, what were the chances that all would run smoothly and the children would all turn out well? The storm was just beginning. So this chapter with the children, it just continues on in the 30s. So it's Jim's going to pick up that there in 30, and we'll see some more from that. But any questions on 29? Clear mud. You ready?
Yeah, I'm really ready.
That's all I got for you. 7 minutes work.
Thank you.
Chapter 30. We're gonna have to put it in high gear really to get through these things, and I'll shift down when we run into some points that need to be brought up. You guys can read a lot of the names here. You've probably already read them and know, so it's not going to be any surprises there. I do want to talk about Rachel and Leah a little bit. I want to talk about Rebecca. I want to go back to Rebecca. And I want you to see the characters of these three women. And then I want you to go to 1 Samuel in your head. We can turn back here if you want. And think about Hannah. Everybody here know what I'm talking about, Hannah, and how she prayed to God and made a vow. And look at the characters of these women, and the characters of these people and these events unfolding, and what Jacob saw in Rachel. What do you think Jacob saw in Rachel?
Absolute beauty, for one.
Anything else?
She was a hard worker.
Rachel or Rebecca?
Oh, that's right. Kind of mixed up.
What Jacob saw in...
Yeah, now think about Rebecca, Rachel, and And Leah, think about the three women here.
They were all beautiful, they were all related.
Rachel, I mean, it really mentions her beauty. And Leah, it didn't really mention her beauty. In fact, she was weak-eyed. But out of Leah comes Judah and Levi, the Levites, the priest. And Judah, Jewish nation. I mean, so. But when I read this, I started thinking about these women. And I'm not impressed with Rachel. How about you guys?
She skated on her good looks, is what you're saying?
Yeah. Yeah. And before I was reading this and studying about this, I thought it was strange that God always said that the way Sarah, a beautiful woman. I mean, all the women were mentioned as beautiful, and I'm thinking, man, something's wrong with this picture. You know, there's more to a woman than the beauty. It did mention virgin with Rachel, that she was a virgin. I'm sure they all were, but Leah, I think, had a lot more to offer than Rachel. But I think Jacob was head over heel over Rachel, so nothing mattered. And what a mess. What a mess they had. And when Rachel couldn't bear, what does she do?
She gets mad.
What?
Brings the handmaid.
She gets mad.
Why? She got mad.
She got upset.
She got mad, you know. And what's Jacob do?
What his fault? Nothing he could do about it.
Yeah, kind of said, "Look, I'm not God. Maybe he was getting a bit of her bad vibes. You know, I've had enough of this. Maybe I don't know, but I try to get into their person. You know, who these people are as people, because they're like us. You know, when you start reading about these people, they're like us. We do stupid things. We say stupid things. And you stop and think now. If Jacob would have just had Leah, there still would have probably been 12 sons. God would have saw that. None of this other nonsense would even happen. And that's when people, and it's been from the beginning, when people start trying to get involved in trying to work out God's plan. You know, they want to change it. They want this, they want that. But anyway, let's start reading through this a little bit. And if you got any comments, let's make them. And anyway, when Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister. Now, what's going on here? Well, if you go over to what we just read, and when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, Rachel hated Leah. So it was a pretty bad situation, wasn't it? And Jacob, and the way these are set up, each woman, wife, or whatever you want to call them, Leah and Rachel, had their own tents. Jacob had his own tent, and he visited when he wanted to visit, or when they set it up, or whatever. And so that's how it worked. And can you imagine being in his shoes? He's going to be pulled and jerked and pulled around and twisted. And how could he have been happy? Donna?
Well, I was thinking, too, all this time that Leah's having children, it's got to be at least, she's got three sons, so at least 3 years or so, and Rachel's stewing about all of it.
Oh, man. What happens with Sarah and Hagar? Same exact. I mean, it's just the same event seems like over and over again when people just don't follow God's plan. And I guess my point is, apply to ourselves. And it's hard to do, though, isn't it? I can sit up here and say, oh, man, look at this. Look at them. But I get myself in binds, and I suspect everybody else in here at times get twisted up a little bit. But anyway, Rachel here envied her sister and said unto Jacob, give me children or else I die. What kind of a demand is that?
It's a little brat.
Yeah, it's she's throwing a temper tantrum. So Jacob's anger was kindled against Rachel, and he said, "Am I in God's stead? Who hath withheld thee from the fruit of the room?" Like Rachel was blaming him, and he just, you know, had to set her straight. It is not me. And she said, "Behold, my maid Bilhah, go into her, and she shall bear upon my knees, that I may also have children by her." Now, when their maid has a child, whose child is it?
Jacob's and the maid.
Yeah, Jacob's and Rachel's. Rachel can claim.
She would claim it, but it wouldn't be
hers. Yeah, physically it wasn't, yeah. But that's how that works. So she thought she could have children. And that's what she says, that I may also have children by her, because, you know, that way that put her in a different light. She was hoping with Jacob, and she said, and she gave him Bilhah to handmaid to wife, and Jacob went into her, and Bilhah conceived and bare Jacob a son, and Rachel said, God hath judged me, and hath also heard my voice, and hath given me a son. Therefore called she his name Dan. And Bilhah, Rachel's maid, conceived again and bare Jacob a second son. And Rachel said, with great wrestlings have I wrestled with my sister, and I have prevailed. And she called his name Naphtali. What's this wrestling?
War with her sister.
Yeah, that's what it is. They're fussing and fighting, just an unhappy lot. And you gotta wonder, why couldn't God have made this easier for the 12 tribes? You ever ask a question like that? I mean, we can read what it says. It says what it says. And I've always wondered about Esau and Isaac. Couldn't he have made it easier? They had to fight in the womb, and the younger going to serve the younger, and a lot of that stuff I have a hard time understanding. Donna had a good comment, which I had actually thought of before, because when you go to Jeremiah first chapter, it talks about God knows these people when they're in the womb. He knows the character. He knows what's going to happen, and you know that's behind the scenes in all this, and that's something you can't really get out of these words. You know, you just have to rely, and I guess that's faith. You know, God, it's in God's hand. God's got control of all this. So anyway, they're wrestling. When Leah saw that she had left bearing, which she's not going to have any more children for a while, she took Zilpah, her maid, and gave her to Jacob. Now, would Jacob be happy or just tired of all this?
I'd even be tired of all that.
Yeah, the man might be happy, but after a while, say, come on. This is getting to be old stuff.
He's got four wives now.
Yeah, there's no way he can keep up. There's no way. So when Leah saw that she had left bearing, she took Zilpah, her maid, and gave her to Jacob to wife. And Zilpah, Leah's maid, bare Jacob a son, and Leah said, a troop cometh, and she called his name Gad. These kind of explain these names. And Zilpah, Leah's maid, bare Jacob a second son. And Leah said, happy am I, for the daughters will call me blessed. And she called his name Asher. Now this is a strange part here. And Reuben went in the days of wheat harvest and found mandrakes in the field. Anybody know what a mandrake is?
It's a root, isn't it?
I don't know. I read commentary. Nobody really knows definitively what it is, except they says, oh, Donna?
I was just going to say that they felt that it was something that gave fertility to them.
Yeah, I don't know if it was
herb,
yeah, tradition or they thought there was actually something to it, but That's right. They thought it was fertility, you know. So they they're all excited about this. So he brought them into his mother, Leah. Then Rachel said to Leah, "Give me, I pray thee, of thy son's mandrakes." And here we go again. And she said unto her, "Is it a small matter that thou hast taken my husband?" What does that mean? Because Leah was married to him first. What do you think that means? Is it a small matter that thou hast taken my husband?
But he never did really love Leah like he did Rachel. So maybe she felt unloved.
Yeah, she felt second fiddle, mm-hmm. so to speak. And that's not a good feeling. I mean, can you imagine being a wife and all these marriages, mixed up marriages where they got two or three wives? What's that religion that does that?
Mormons.
Yeah. Man, that's got to be the most unhappiest, messed up mess there ever could be. I mean, it just... Because he's going to have a favorite wife, isn't he?
Can't have to. It's human.
Yeah, he's going to have a favorite wife. Of Jacob, he had a favorite son. Jacob loved Rachel more. I mean, it's kind of natural. And that don't mean you necessarily hate the other, but you like them less. You love them less. Everybody has favorites. Don and I have talked about, and you guys with kids, you may have talked about the same thing. There's some things about Brian is my favorite. Some things about Chris is my favorite. So it's hard to pick, but the natural human thing is you generally have favorites for some reason. So anyway, she felt second fiddle here. And the mandrakes, I mean, these stories don't even hardly make sense to me. It's hard to get the sense out of them.
Google it, and it is a fertility.
Yeah. But of course, the story's not about the mandrakes here. It's about Rachel and Leah fussing and fighting. That's what this is about. And Rachel said, "Therefore he shall lie with thee tonight for thy son's mandrakes." Now this next part is, verse 16 is kind of strange. And Jacob came out of the field, and Leah went out to meet him and said, "Thou must come into me, for surely I have hired thee with my son's mandrakes." I don't understand that. Surely can't mean what I'm thinking, but that's what it says, Gary.
This is what Merriam-Webster says about mandrake. The first meaning is that a Mediterranean herb, mandragora, officinarium, something like that, of the nightshade family, with large ovate leaves, greenish yellow or purple flowers, and a large, usually forked root resembling a human in form, and formerly credited with magical properties.
So my ginseng.
It does.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it does.
Sounds really good.
Yeah. Yep. But again, the story wasn't and isn't about the mandrakes necessarily. It's about the jealousy and all that's going on here. But anyway, "You must come into me tonight, for I have hired you with my son's mandrakes." And he lay with her that night. And God hearkened unto Leah, and she conceived and bare Jacob the fifth son. And Leah said, "God hath given me my hire, because I have given my maiden to my husband," and she called his name Issachar. And Leah conceived again and bare Jacob the sixth son. And Leah said, "God endued me with a good dowry." What's a dowry in what you're talking about here?
It's a gift from the wife to the husband when they marry, usually.
But what's
some kind of dowry?
But what's this talking about here, endowing with a good dowry? You know what that is, Donna?
Well, I think she's talking about now she's got all these children.
Yeah, all these male children.
That's her dowry.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I thought.
Just just to make a point, it probably don't mean nothing, but I'm sure with all these sons, there had to be daughters too.
Had to be what?
Had to be some daughters.
Well,
two, but it doesn't mention.
It mentions one, Dinah. And what do we know about Dinah, just real quickly, now that you brought that up?
She was the one that was accosted by the, I can't remember who, and that her brothers went in and did a lot of damage.
Why was she accosted? We'll get into it later, but I'm just, now that we've talked about that. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 6. Let's go back there real quick, because the wording is, verse 2, it said, that the sons of God said that the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took him to the wife. So what did Dinah do?
She went over to visit the Canaanites.
Yeah, she got nosy. And we'll talk, we're going to get into that later, but that's Dinah in this mess, all this mess too. She wanted to be part of something else. She wanted to see what was going on elsewhere. And you almost say, well, I can't blame her to get out of that. Now, there may have been other daughters. They're not mentioned.
I don't know. Like original, there would be.
Yeah, I don't know. Sons seem to have the glory in all these families.
Sons would be the ones that would take the family name and any inheritance. Yeah. Or the daughters would get married and leave and go off with a different name or a different family or whatever. So that's why the sons kind of get priority, I guess.
And you know what? That really carried on up to really not too recently about the women and men. Women just don't have the honor, I guess, that men have. I don't know. Equal rights, maybe. I don't know what it is, but that's kind of common. They're not treated the same or fairly. You know, and I think that still goes on today. Women, is that true, or am I just making that up? Yeah, okay.
Well, in reality, you can't have two firsts.
No,
there can't be two heads.
No, that's true too.
So somebody has to.
Yeah, well, there is a head. I'm talking about in general society. Yeah. I'm not talking about a husband-wife relationship. We know what that. You know, the man is head of the household. Yeah, that's.
But with the Muslims, don't they consider the women just property?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's the word I was actually wanting. Yeah, that's the word I was actually trying to. Donna?
I can't remember where it was, but I remember somewhere in the Old Testament that there was a family where there weren't any sons, and the inheritance was going to go to one of the brothers of the father or something, and petitioned that they would get the inheritance.
Yeah.
Well, they had to redeem it at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they could.
Think of back of Genesis there with Adam and Eve, and they were going to be punished, the women with childbearing, and maybe that's the physical, but there may be some psychological or emotional punishment that comes. I'm thinking that there's some misery going on here with this jealousy.
Oh, and yeah.
And that is suffering. So it may be part of this.
Maybe. It's hard to.
Well, I don't know how close together these four sons that Leah had were, but for 3 or 4 years, Rachel was seeing this and she was blaming Jacob.
Yeah.
But he already had four children by her, so it wasn't his fault. So
everything was working.
Yep.
So anyway, and afterwards she buried daughter and called her name Dinah. And that may be an interesting story for you to read sometime. Same as 1 Samuel, if you want to read about Hannah, the difference in attitudes of people. You know, she counted on God to satisfy her life. That's what satisfied her, was God. It wasn't in these cases. This wasn't. And when you think about Rebecca, that was kind of a real love story. But what goes on later in Rebecca's life? Because when Isaac first met him, everything was great. But what goes on later?
I don't worship.
Well, yeah, there was idol worship, but
starts this evening.
Go to chapter 24, and the reason I want to talk about this, it's, let's see. I think it's 24 I want to go to. I'm sorry, 27. And you start with verse 5. And Rebekah heard that when Isaac spoke to his son Esau, Esau went to the field and hunted venison to bring it. And Rebekah spake unto Jacob her son, saying, Behold, I heard thy father speak, thy brother saying, Bring me venison and make me savory meat, that I may eat and bless thee therefore for my death. What's Rebekah do here? Now therefore, my son, obey my voice. And I thought that was interesting. It's like a complete turnaround from what I thought Rebekah was. I mean, I was, you know, because when Rebekah met Isaac, she's very humble at the well, offers him a drink, takes care of the camels. I mean, just, you know, you get this really good picture of Rebekah in your mind, Donner.
Well, I was thinking about in the 26th chapter, right before what you just read, is when Esau decided to take those wives from the Canaanites.
Yeah.
It was a grief to her.
So yeah.
I think she knew what kind of a person Esau was going to be.
Verse 35, so, which were a grief of mine unto Isaac and to Rebekah. But now when I'm reading this, she is fixing to make a stupid plan. And I say stupid, I wonder. I mean, I wonder what's going on here. Because this is not how a godly person would act, doing this great deceiving here. If you go down to verse 12, my father peradventure of feeling, I shall seem to him as a deceiver. And it shall bring a curse upon me. So, Isaac, or Jacob, you know, he knew what was going on. He said, you know, I'm not sure I want to go along with this. This is going to bring a curse on me. What's his mother, Rebekah, this person that I had really high regards for? She says, and his mother said upon him, upon me that curse, you know, let me take the curse. My son, only obey my voice. She's telling him what to do. She is making this great big plan.
But if you look in Genesis 25, when she was pregnant with the twins, the Lord told her that the
young man that's right.
was going to serve the
home. That's right.
So I think in her mind,
she's taking things in her own hands. But
right.
Yeah.
Because the Lord talked to her and said that, you know, the younger will serve the older. So I think she was making sure that what the Lord told her would happen, you know, what happened.
Do you think the Lord could have taken care of it without her help?
He said he was going to.
And you know, when you read these, and you get impressions of these people, of Leah, and from these people comes the Jewish nation, which had plenty of problems in their own right, but. If you were God, what would you think about all this? Would he be ready to pull his hair out? I know he did in Genesis chapter 6. He'd had enough, and he's going to start all over. And if this was my kids, and this has gone on and on and on, man, how much could you take? How much could you take of this?
Maybe this is just a...
And there's going to be
a training for Jacob. You know,
yeah.
Putting him through the ringer, and then...
Well, Jacob.
He's going to be the one to lead the whole deal. So
Jacob does improve here. I mean, he gets better, and God watches over him, as we find out with the sheep in a minute. Anyway, let's get down to that because some of this here. Anyway, she conceived a bear son. God said, God hath taken away my reproach, and she called his name Joseph. And we'll read a lot about Joseph. He's one of my favorite characters of the whole Bible. And it came to pass, when Rachel had borne Joseph, that Jacob said unto Laban, send me away, that I may go into my own place, into my own country. Give me my wives, my children, from whom I have served thee, and let me go, for thou knowest my service, which I have done thee. Something about Laban. In a 6-year period, he changed Jacob's wages 10 times. I mean, this guy was a hoodooer from the get-go. I mean, that's what he was. But
he did that by giving Leah first.
Yeah. Oh, it started. I mean, he was a scoundrel from the very beginning. And Jacob learned a lot from this guy, as we'll see. And Laban said unto him, I pray thee that if I have found favor in thine eyes, tarry, for I have learned by experience. Now this here, this is one of those verses that I underline in my Bible. And I would encourage you to do it. For I have learned by experience that the Lord hath blessed me for thy sake. That's an interesting passage. How would that apply to our lives today, a passage like that? I have blessed thee for thy sake. I think some of the
maybe for our children's sake.
Yeah, they can be acting out, but the Lord still blesses them. How about Hagar and Ishmael? God knew what Ishmael was going to be like. God said, "You're going to live by the sword. You're a wild man. Everybody's going to hate you. You're going to hate everybody." And yet, he was blessed. Why? Because of Abraham. And that's how this fits together. That's how God works sometimes. So if we apply something like this to our lives, how should we view something like this?
Let God handle it.
What?
Let God handle it.
Yeah, let God handle it. But we are going to be godly. And it's going to rub off on people around us, basically. Even if we have children that aren't doing right, God will, he blesses them because of us, not because of their deeds. And that there's several passages. I mean, I can go to several, and we don't have time, but I always think that those things are interesting. What happened with Abimelech? What did Abimelech tell Abraham? I see that God is with you, and it helped Abimelech. You know, that helped Abimelech. Anyway, we can go off on all kinds of rabbit trails, but I like to talk about that because we can put all these people, these characters together, and how God fits in the lives of all these people. And he said, appoint me thy wages, and I will give it. Now here's where Jacob really I guess shines. He outshines Laban anyway. I don't know if it's good or what, but God is in the middle of this. And he said unto him, thou knowest how I serve thee, and how thy cattle was with me, for it was little and which thou hast before I came. So Laban didn't have a whole lot when Jacob came. And it is now increased unto a multiple. The Lord hath blessed since my coming. And now when shall I provide for my own house also? Jacob saying, look, I need to take care of my own family now. And he said, what shall I give thee? Because Laban wanted to stay. And Jacob said, thou shalt not give me anything. Can you see Laban?
Yes.
I got this guy is a sapsucker from the day I met him. I mean, you stop and think about it. I mean, if you were Laban and somebody says something like that, you think, man, this is great. This guy is going to work. He's going to give me everything. And Jacob said, thou shalt not give me anything. I will again feed thy flock and keep thy flock. And Laban thinking, man, this is great. This guy, he don't want anything. He's going to stay here and keep doing. I will pass through all thy flock today, removing from thence all the speckled and spotted cattle and all the brown cattle, among the sheep, and the spotted and speckled among the goats, and of such shall be my hire, so shall my righteousness answer for me in time to come. What does that mean? So shall my righteousness answer for me in time to come? Well, we'll find out here in a minute. Before thy face, everyone that is not speckled and spotted among the goats and brown among the sheep, and shall be cut and stolen with me. And Laban said, behold, I would it might be according to thy word. So Laban thinks, yeah, what's more valuable, white sheep or spotted up sheep?
White.
Yeah.
The spotted are not good for sacrifice.
That's right. So Laban thinking, man, this guy is a moron. You know, I mean, he had to be thinking that. And he removed that day and the he-goats that were ring-straight and spotted all the goats that were speckled and spotted everyone that had some white in it. And all around among the sheep and gave them into the hand of his hand. And he set 3 days' journey between himself and Jacob. And Jacob fed the rest of Laban's flock. So there was for purpose. He didn't want to mix. He wanted to get them out. And Jacob took him rods of green poplar and of hazel and chestnut tree and piled white stakes in them and made the white appear which was in the rods. And he set the rods which he had peeled before the flock in the gutters in the watering troughs when the flock came to drink that they should conceive when they came to drink. The flocks conceived before the rods and brought them forth ring straight, speckled, and spotted. And Jacob did separate the lambs and set the faces of the flock toward the ring straight and all around the flock of Laban, and he put his own flocks by themselves and put them not into Laban's cattle. And it came to pass whensoever the stronger cattle did not conceive that Jacob laid the rod before the eyes of the cattle in the gutters that they may conceive among the rods. Now Jacob here was getting the stronger animals. That's the plan. Do you think there's any truth? You raise, Johnny does. Raise enough sheep. Do you think this made any difference? Peeling bark and putting the water in troughs?
I bet I did.
Huh?
It worked anyway.
But why did it work?
God's plan. God
blessed him.
That's right. And that's why you go back here to verse 34. Laban said, behold, I would it might be according. Oh, wait, no, that's not it. Shall my righteousness answer for me in time to come, but not shall come from my hire. Was Jacob starting to count on God a little more?
Sounds like it.
Even in this, I think so too. I think so. And so, but when the cattle were feeble, he put them not in. So the feebler were Laban's, and the stronger ones were Jacob's. And the man increased exceedingly and had much cattle, and maidservants, and men servants, and camels, and donkeys. Donna?
Well, I was thinking that when Jacob fled from Isaac and Rebekah's place, he was supposed to get the blessing of the inheritance, but he didn't get it because Esau was going to kill him. But now he's being prospered by God, so he's got the blessing that way.
Yeah. We're almost out of time. Any questions on this and Jacob and the contrast of these individuals and going through life, because that's what's going on here. They're going through life, daily events. Laban, as we'll find out later, that God really puts a stifle on him.
Looked like it didn't make no difference what kind of deal Laban made. Jacob was going to prosper.
Yeah,
because God was seeing to that side of it. So.
Because God was with Laban. There was a verse I was thinking about. I can't. Well, in chapter 33, it says, take, I pray thee, my blessing that is brought to thee, because God hath dealt graciously with me, and because I have had enough. God has taken care of Jacob. There was another verse I really wanted to... Okay, any questions on 30? I kind of went through it the condensed, quick version, but we are back on track, so. And as far as I know, Mark is going to be teaching Sunday morning.
55 verses in that one.
How many?
55.
Yeah, I know. Well, thank you for your time. We'll talk a lot more about the 12 sons.
That'll be right there. Good to be seen. Good to be here.
Did you get your last way from school?
No, that wasn't me.
How are you doing?
Oh,
no, my bus is at home.
Oh.
Mine's at home working along.
Good evening.
Good to see you.
Awesome.
Hi, sir.
Good evening.
How are you?
Good to see you.
Great.
Thank you.
Hey, much better.
You get skipped too, what is it?
You making it, buddy?
Sound like that old turtle.
Yeah.
Yep, as long as you're making it, you'll be
all right. Don't worry,
you
can
go in. Well, sure. I'm going to lose, huh? Yeah.
You look fantastic. Do you feel as good as you look, or are you just fine?
I'm doing pretty good. Better than this guy.
Yeah.